Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Anna and I'm pleased to be joined today by Colin, who's here to talk with us about his experience of participating in the Learning to Love Learning group coaching. Welcome, Colin.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, thank you for being here. And through the miracle of technology, we're able to bring this recording to you. It's the middle of the night in the part of the world where Colin is, and we're able to record this interview ahead of time. So thanks for being with us.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
In January, we had a whole month of practice-a-thon. We had all sorts of practice offerings to support the bridge work. And one of those practice offerings was Learning to Love Learning group coaching. So perhaps you could start by telling us a bit about what you saw about learning in that group coaching, Colin.
Oh, well, I just to say that the coaching, it ran over 4 weeks, so that there was a really huge amount to see. Every week we had a sort of like a homework assignment, so it was actually looking at it over 4 weeks, so it was really quite a long period of time. But the first thing that I saw really was the way that I was approaching learning was sort of that I would try to do something and then ego would tell me that I'd done something wrong, and there was some sort of a punishment going on because I'd got something wrong. And that really it was, after a while, I wouldn't really want to do the learning because I was just getting beat up at the time. So the odds were stacked against me of being able to learn anything, really.
Seeing how the odds were stacked against you of being able to learn anything, that you would start learning something, and then you would hear this ego voice starting to tell you how it you were doing it wrong. So it was a process of punishment, not a process of learning.
That's right, and how that must affect me in my life, perhaps choosing to tackle things that I think I might be quite good at and avoiding things that I maybe think that I won't be very good at. Just from that, it kind of opened up a whole load of things that I could possibly learn, that maybe the voices are telling me, oh, you won't be any good at that.
So it sounds like an experience of disidentification, right? From believing that you are those voices saying, I won't be any good at this. And then, of course, who could blame him not wanting to start learning something new, because there's that punishment that's inevitably going to come, right? That's been your experience. And to be able to step back and see those voices instead of seeing through them and realize, what if that's not true? This sense of possibilities opening up. Well, I could learn anything. I could turn my attention to anything that I want to explore.
That's right, and how that would make me live my life quite small, really, and not wanting to, you know, to stray too far into anything too challenging, really. Yeah.
So getting go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, getting to see that being made small process and realizing that you're not that process and you're not what's being made small, that you don't have to be controlled by that, and possibilities open up, it sounds like, from there.
Yes, absolutely. And I was seeing this playing out sort of in different areas of my life, that there was a focus I had for the 4 weeks, but I was noticing it cropping up as I was going about my week as well. So it was really helpful.
So it sounds like you started seeing it everywhere, huh? That being made small process and realizing that you didn't have to be controlled by it.
Yes, and I think actually the focus that I chose, it was something I think at the back of my mind that I thought I was going to be able to be quite good at it, but I noticed that I was doing some other things that perhaps I thought I wasn't so good at. So it was interesting to see that how I'd chosen a focus as something I thought I would be able to succeed at on ego's terms.
Oh my gosh! Wow. That's huge to see, isn't it? The process of how you chose the focus to bring to the Learning to Love Learning group coaching and got to disidentify from that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That was kind of what I just what I saw in the first week, and I think it was on the second week I was seeing that ego sort of had a, it was almost like ego had got a lesson plan and was saying, okay, that these are the things you're going to learn, and okay, this is the way you're going to learn them, and okay, if anything diverged from that, I would again get another beating, because I wasn't, mm, it wasn't going the way ego said it should.
So all that was week one, and then that unfolded for you to be able to see that ego had this lesson plan, right? That this is what you're going to learn and when, this is what you should know and when, and if it wasn't going to go like that, there was that threat of the punishment and beating.
And so, yes, what I saw, that if I can say this, that life has its own lesson plan for me, and to follow along with that, and it will go in whatever way it goes, and to be with that, not the way the ego says it should go, and I will learn, it will sort of unfold organically somehow, and I will learn what I need to learn as I go along, not what ego says I should learn.
You'll learn what you need to learn as you go along, that life is unfolding that perfectly. It's on our side, yeah, right? Not, yeah, listening to this voice, this illusion of being separate from life, telling you what you should know and what you should be learning and when and how all of that should go.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Yes, and it's just with I was just trying to do something, and it sort of completely went off in a direction I hadn't expected, and the voices were just sort of hammering me, saying, "You're getting it wrong. This is terrible. You're a complete disaster." And I actually just stepping back and thinking, "Oh right, so this is an opportunity to learn something here. I'm going to have to go off and tackle this the way it needs to be tackled." And so it was a new learning opportunity open for me that I hadn't envisaged. And there's something about being open and receptive to life as it's unfolding, and receiving the teaching that life is offering to me, or the learning opportunity that life is offering.
Wow, I just heard the difference, went to the experience of the difference so clearly in what you just laid out, being identified with the recipient of those beatings, of it's all going wrong, you're doing it wrong, and stepping into there's no way to do it wrong, being open, yes, and being receptive and listening for life guidance as it unfolds.
Yes, that's right, and there's no way to do it wrong. I think that's really, really important, because that was such a big thing for me. That even if I just keep falling over every step, there's nothing wrong with that. Because I'm not making, I can't get anything wrong, and that was really huge to sort of just embrace the learning process. Yeah.
Huge to embrace the learning process, that there's no way to do it wrong. Yes, it's huge. Yeah. Something that's dropping in is one of the quotes we had in one of the exercises in the group coaching from Sherry Huber about living your life in fear that you're going to do it wrong is like being an explorer who's afraid of getting lost, right? We're exploring, and the process of getting it wrong has got nothing to do with exploring. It's added on.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Yes, and exploring, and it's just like a fun process, really. I think that was one of the things of exploration. Just really now, afterwards, sort of really looking forward to doing my lessons, to see, I don't know, it's just so much more enjoyable.
It's so much more enjoyable. You're now, it sounds like, in a process of fun.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that a third thing I saw was that there was this sort of end goal that the ego was setting and saying, this is where it's going to go, you know, you've got to get get to this point, and if you don't, it's a disaster. And to be honest, I've just learned so many different things that I didn't even know about now. I've kind of been able to drop that goal and to just sort of see where the learning takes me. And it's so much more relaxing not having to struggle to meet a particular standard, to just follow the path wherever it goes.
So much more relaxing not having to struggle to meet a particular standard and just following it where it goes. Yeah, as you said, open, receptive, fun. All those qualities of being in that process of loving learning, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I should say that now, I don't know, it's been a few weeks have gone by now, but I am still doing the learning very much every day. It's part of my routine. I just do five or 10 minutes every day, and you know, I really look forward to that in my day, to do that. Mm-hmm. So it has carried on after the class. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like such a fabulous process of training, right? You see all of these things in those 4 weeks in that very big way, and then you continue that practice with your 5 or 10 minutes every day and get to be in that process of loving learning. Get to train to live there, huh?
Yes. No, it was really fantastic. Fantastic training. And you know, I did say it before, but it just, one of the things that I say now, when ego's telling me things go wrong, I just say, I'm learning to love learning, and it kind of shuts me down. And that's all I'm doing. I'm not trying to learn anything. I'm just learning to love learning. And so that's been really a really useful little tool to have. To take with me in my day. It's been really, really helpful.
A useful tool to have with you in your day to say, any message that you hear of you're doing it wrong or it's going wrong, I'm just learning to love learning. And as you said, there was something I heard in what you said when you said, it's not about what I'm learning, I'm learning to love learning, right? It's not content.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get anything. I'm not trying to get anywhere. I'm training to live in a process of learning to love learning. Just here, eyes wide open, fun, open, receptive.
Yes, that's right, yes. And to be in that process of love, yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm glad to hear that reflected, because I do sometimes forget, and it's just lovely to just come back to that with whatever it is that I'm doing, to just remember that I'm just learning to love learning. Yes.
We train to be in that place, huh? To remember that what we're doing is just learning to love learning. There's no way to do it wrong. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
And as we hand the show over to Michael, I just want to let folks know, if you haven't seen it already, that there's another group coaching offering coming up on living the privileged environment in daily life. And that begins on March 6th, and registration is open now. And with that, we'll hand the show over to you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen. Welcome, Jen.
Hey, Michael. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear. It's great.
Oh, excellent.
And can you hear me okay?
I can hear you also perfectly. So far, so good.
Okay, good.
And the recording worked. So
miracle.
Technology is smiling on us today.
I'm knocking on wood as we speak here.
Yeah, me too.
I love that conversation. And it reminded me, like a lot of Sherry's book titles, that it's all in the title of Learning to Love Learning.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's lovely. I love Colin's thing of, you know, life has a way better curriculum for me than I could ever have. That is so my experience.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Anything else you wanted to add from that, or I can go to our announcements?
I'm ready for announcements,
Okay, great. Last year, we focused on moving from seeing through conditioned mind to looking at conditioned mind. And building on that enlightening experience, the 2020 Making a Change for Good year-long retreat will support us in seeing through life lenses so we can be present to the vibrant, ever-changing nature of life. This retreat will run from March 16th through December 10th and will include daily assignments and lively conversations with the guide on weekday radio shows.
Cannot wait.
Me too. I'm counting down. What we got? 2 weeks? Two
exactly.
And a half weeks.
We can make it.
I can make it, yes. Yep. And would you like to live in the privileged environment all the time and not just on retreat? A new group coaching class will explore the powerful elements of the privileged environment and look at how to implement those elements in daily life. This class will be held on Fridays from March 6th through the 27th.
Cool. That's neat. And I think, you know, Anna mentioned that at the end of that last interview.
Yes.
And I think similar to the way the Learning to Love Learning course was, is I think, you know, it's kind of that place where there'll be specific things to look at through it. So, you know, it'll be a little bit of a led experience, which I think really makes it quite powerful in those group coaching experiences.
Yes, yes, yes. And join us for the Don't Suffer, Communicate retreat, May 15th through 20th, as we explore how to bypass ego and communicate authentically for true connection. This retreat at the beautiful Santa Sabina Retreat Center in the San Francisco Bay Area includes guidance with Sherry, yoga, and delicious food. This retreat is a must for anyone who wishes to acquire or hone facilitation skills.
Yep, and as you and I both know, it is a fabulous curriculum.
Yes, yes, fabulous.
Yep.
Great. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Jen, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes in length is great. Okay, Jen, I think we're ready to go here. Yeah?
All right, perfect.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey.
The Jen Show.
Yeah. Yes. I was a little late to the good news, but that sounded really wonderful, and I caught a little bit of Learning to Love Learning and life's curriculum, and so I'm kind of looking at that. I just wanted to call in to, you know, to get support. I just feel like I'm in a sort of a opportunity to learn and whatever stuff going on. And I just brief content is kind of,
yeah, please.
The person, okay, I'm like, I don't know what to say here. Yeah, brief content.
But, you know, I just want to say really quickly there, Jen, because I think so often, you know, we get to that place as practitioners of like, nope, can't have any content. But, you know, I think one of the other things we talk about, we certainly talked about it in the year-long retreat a lot last year, that the working with the content of what life, I mean, it's very much the life curriculum thing, isn't it? Like being willing to take whatever life puts in our path and use that in order to see how suffering is caused, to illustrate for us the process that's happening. It's so helpful. And I project that in being willing to put it out there, it's helpful to the person who's putting it out there, but it's also helpful to everyone else who can plug in their own content. So yeah, I think it's helpful to start there.
Yeah, yeah, thanks. Because, right, there is that, like, you can't say content, but right, I know we look at also, you know, helpful to look at the specificity of things and really to see, you know,
exactly.
What's up to you. And, yeah, so briefly, just kind of the relationship of the person. So I started a new business last year, and it kind of started out with a sort of friend, you know, colleague saying, hey, I've got this space. I really would love to see you rent it and start using it for blah, blah, blah. And that evolved. And it seemed like it was going to be this, you know, win-win, we're going to support each other, you know, very laid back, you know, really want to see you be able to have a gentle start. And then I guess, you know, maybe as money and business comes in, I don't know, it's just interesting. Mm-hmm. It's, and I think a partner got involved. And so, you know, it's really changed. It started to be a lot of, you know, legal language and you know, different things coming in. And so I just today got a text of, you know, now there's a bunch of changes that really make a lot of changes that I'm, you know, I don't feel great about. And there was a conversation some weeks back where the person was going to send me an email with some of this information and never did. And now it's like, here's all the changes. This is due March 1st. This lease that was 2 pages is now 8 pages. And it's really, you know, so there's like, it's a, like there was all this sensation, right, of like, whoa, you know, what's, and kind of going into urgency and just everything in that reaction of that. So, you know, so practicing with it and recording and everything that's going on. And I did get a little guidance, and that's kind of what I wanted to keep anchoring in, of, you know, to keep looking at around this situation, that it's not really about the person, the landlord who I thought was more of a friend, but now is turning into, you know, whatever. Like, it's really about what is ego, you know, trying to do to me in each situation, and that I have an opportunity to either go with old karma of, you know, maybe people please and, oh, okay, I just want to, you know, make sure everybody is, and not really stand up for what I might need to communicate to take care of myself in this case, or, you know, that it's not really about the person. And that's, I think, where I really want to keep focusing, because it feels like every time I see her, you know, there's like, rah, 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 oh, this is, and it's kind of ruining like this, I don't know where it will go with the lease and the blah, blah, blah and all that, but it's kind of ruining, like, I really enjoy what I do. I'm really enjoying this opportunity. But because, like, every time I see her, it's, you know, oh, she, I can't believe, like, the voices are doing that stuff. It's really, you know, it's making that miserable. And so that place of, like, okay, this could be just a perspective of, it's really about what ego is doing. It's not really about the specific person or whatever. So I'm kind of trying to, like, hang on to that. But I wanted to call in for some support to stay with that.
Yeah. Okay. So that clarifies it for me, what you just said, because I was going to say, so it sounds like you're really clear on what the suffering process is, and you're quite clear also on the focus and where you want to be focusing. So instead of getting dragged down into the usual karmic patterns, whether that would be, well, I've got to make sure everyone feels okay. And of course, the everyone there is everyone but Jen needs to feel okay, right? And what we really see in that is that there's this whole conversation that's being attended to instead of just life's curriculum, like what now, what now, what now?
Yeah.
And so you realize, I really do want my attention on realizing it's not about that person. It's about what everything's about if we're practitioners of awareness, which we are, which is that I'll use everything in my experience to see how suffering is caused so I can see through that and end suffering. But it's really hard to remember that when it gets so real. And so that's what you were calling in for support around, is to help to remember that even in the really real moments.
Exactly. Yes. Because it feels, I was like, how can it not be? Like, it's about that person. You know, when I'm in those places, it feels so, it just feels so, Yeah.
Well, and one of the things I've come to, I would even say love, and I confess it was for a long time when I would hear people say things like that, there's sort of this internal eye rolling, like, oh, please, you know, do you really love that? But that place that is so reassuring to me is to get it that, right now in this situation, it really does feel like it's this person. But having been through enough of those, and I know you're right in the same camp, that if it's not that person, it's going to be someone else. That slot is always going to be filled for me in my life with, quote, my karma, because it's a karmic slot that exists. Something is going to get put into that slot. And so if it's not this person, then it's going to be the next person or the next thing. And so it's just that sense of like, that is where it can be like, okay, thank you. That's what I think what we mean when we say we're all bodhisattvas for each other, because I do want to transcend this karma, so something is going to have to push that button in order for me to keep it in front of my awareness to work with.
Oh, yes. Okay, right. That's so helpful to hear it said in that way. Yeah, it'll just be, you know, the next person I'm in relationship with will be the next, you know, if it's not, yeah, right. So might as well, you know, try to work with it here. And that does help to remind me to keep some distance from, it's not about her and this, but, you know, it's just, okay, this is an opportunity. I really want to practice, you know, speaking up for what feels okay for this person. And that's often like such a, you know, very challenging place. And I think that's kind of, I'm really getting an opportunity to do it. And yeah, here's the chance to practice with it right now. Yeah, yeah.
And is it your sense, Jen, that in your recording and listening around it, that the person who feels like that really strong sensation and just, you know, she sees that other person and all of that stuff comes up, is that allowed to be expressed in an uncensored way in your recording and listening?
Yeah, I'm working with that. I mean, it's still a tricky place, but I today I think I really went for it. I mean, I was really upset, you know, and so that was good. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes there is that censoring, right? But yeah, I think I have been practicing with, like, yes, you know, because that's such a tricky place too. I mean, I project for a lot of us, but definitely for this person that, you know, to let it be okay to feel however I feel, especially in that recorder, to just be like, I can't believe it. So, you know, yes, I am practicing around that. And I still know, you know, there will be that, you know, well, you shouldn't feel resentful and you shouldn't, you know, and to remember, like, well, on the recorder, I can feel all of that and just get it out. And then, yeah, I can look at what I may or may not say. But yeah, so thank you for that too, because I feel like, it's in and out, and it's definitely something I'm continuing to work with, is like really to let that be a space that I can. It truly is okay to feel all of it.
To feel all of it. And I project what we get to see in that is that's just a storm that blows through, right? It's not who I am. And that campaign to get us not to do that, well, I mean, you shouldn't feel that way, or even in the guise of sort of spiritual language, well, but I really know it's all projection and it's not about them and blah, blah, blah. So, and what I've seen in that is what that's doing is, yeah, it's going to shut me down right now in my recording so that later all of that stuff that's never addressed can build up and come out in unskillful ways when I'm communicating with someone. Therefore, whoops, guess what? I get beaten for that, and we're back in the same game again. And whereas that opportunity to actually get to have the full experience, quote, with me, with the mentor on the recorder, I actually have a shot at, not to give too much about the retreat away, the communication retreat, but I know you got to have this experience too. Mm-hmm. There's that whole exercise around, you know, getting to really look at, what am I really wanting out of this communication? What do I need out of this communication? And that's what we begin to be able to really look at. And meanwhile, that person who has all of those feelings about that, it's completely all right. She doesn't get shut down. She gets to have that experience, but she's taken care of completely separate from whatever interaction the grown-up, you know, the centered grown-up gets to have with the actual external person. Whole different scenario.
Yeah, yes, that's right. There's a place for her to get to just express everything, and that's completely okay. And then there's a different place of somebody who's interacting, and wherever that goes with the external person is, you know, we'll be fine. You know, this person will be taken care of. And and that's so helpful to remember.
Yep, and the other piece of it being, but in my experience, as that relationship gets stronger and stronger, where those sort of the internal person is cared for by the mentor, conscious, compassionate awareness, then if there's something that has to happen on the content level that truly is needed in order to take care of her, like, well, I guess this isn't the physical place for us to have this business, where that might karmically be incredibly uncomfortable to make that shift, when that relationship is strong enough, that's just what happens, right? The mentor just knows that's okay. It'll be hard, but we can do that because that's what we need to do to take care of the person, and that's fine, and that's important.
Yeah, exactly. That has been coming in a little bit, and it feels like that's where it feels so, you know, ego makes that so like, that's not okay, you know, and yeah,
exactly.
Karma would be, you know, do anything to just make it all work. But then, yeah, I feel that. I mean, I feel that resonance when you say like, right, to even get to that place of, you know, maybe this is not going to continue if this is not the way that's going to take care of her. I mean, I don't know where it's going to go, but yeah, that's so big to make that stand for the human being, because I think the karma is typically never to make the stand for the human being. And so here's, you know, who knows where it will go, right? But yeah, that's really helpful to remember
exactly.
That.
Yeah, and it makes us afraid of the content, right? Makes everything into a big deal. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, quote, taking a stand for the human could be very become a very everyday kind of thing. Oh, okay, well, it turns out that contract's not going to work for us, so let's go find another one. Doesn't even have to be a huge deal.
Yeah, that's so amazing, because it feels like it's like, you know, it feels very big deal.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
That's awesome. So thank you. I totally did not look at the time, but I feel like it's definitely been more than 5 minutes, and I so appreciate it. So
not your fault. All right, thanks, Jen.
Thank you so very much.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. And Jen, the one word that dropped in from your conversation was uncensored. And yes. I've heard it come up a couple times before, and it just seems critical to get that energy, that emotion, whatever, an opportunity for it to be expressed.
That's so true, Michael. Because, of course, the only thing that would censor, right, is conditioned mind. And it's so masterful at strategic censoring. Right? It's only going to censor the thing that's going to come back around in a place that's going to create an opening for self-hatred.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And Jen, we have another caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. So I had a kind of continuing exploration from the email class.
Okay.
We were talking about the comfort zone of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
great topic.
And it's a really rich one because it seems a little bit never ending.
Truly, yeah. Kind of not dissimilar from what we were just talking about, right? Because it's kind of the same thing. Like ego would say, no, you can't talk about that. That's too uncomfortable. Don't want to deal with that. And all of those things that we never stop to realize, wait, whose comfort zone is this? Who's actually being held comfortable by this? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Because, well, so one recent example for me has been there's a lot of, I know that I'm at the edge when I hear a lot of conversation in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Precisely. Like, that is a really good marker to stop and pause when I hear almost like the mind is like flapping its wings angrily. Like that's a good point.
Exactly. Don't leave the box. Don't let it go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what I noticed is it. So to lay out the process at my job, there's a lot of conversation in my head about really being pushed to my edges a lot in what I'm required to do. And there's a lot of, you know, speaking of learning, there's a lot of learning that is taking place, and it's been a year of a lot of learning. And I can be in a conversation in my head that is saying, you're at your limit, this is too much, you can't do it, you're being taken advantage of, blah, blah, blah. And that can feel 100% true. Like it really, really feels convincing. And then at the same time, I wonder how true that was because that happened today. And then I had a meeting with some of our students, and we're putting together a brochure that's going to help students who don't have college counselors get into college. And seeing the amount of, like, how much they want to serve people they don't even know, it was like there was so much energy. I was totally back there, not at all feeling taken advantage of.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, the way you reported how it sounds in your head is such a big clue, isn't it? You know, you're at your limit. You are being taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I mean, and then it feels, as you say, 100% true. And yet it's so interesting, isn't it? Because there's that awareness that remains, the awareness that seeing that that's happening, the awareness that sort of continues on with the day, and the awareness that registers, well, look at that, how it panned out. That's not how I feel at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So it begins to, it's like staying with it and being in the awareness instead of completely in the story begins to reveal those lies.
Yes, and I think that the other key, that like the staying with it, which is one side, and something related is to see the you, like you can't, this is too much for you, it's you know, they're taking advantage of you, whatever, that kind of story. But then the total switch to the experience that I was having when I was with the students and seeing how excited they were to help other people. And all I could think in that moment was that place of why me, God, but the, you know, the good kind.
Yeah.
Like how lucky.
Yeah. So it's like, from the way you describe it, Chris, it's like the difference between the story of it and the actual experience of it.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that story, well, this is too much. I can't, I mean, look, I'm being taken advantage of. And then you're in the actual experience of the actual work of the job. And your experience is, wow, why me, God? How did I get so lucky? I love this. I'm completely inspired by these students wanting to help people they don't even know.
Right. So differentiating between, it's almost like the conversation ramps up because it has to do that or else it doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly. It's exactly like you said, it's flapping its wings, right? So here you are in this, you know, you're going to go have this experience, this direct experience of like, wow, I mean, I'm incredibly lucky. How did I get this job? How did I land in this place? How did I, you know, all those things. And that's, I mean, you know, a lit up human, as we know, is there's nothing conditioned mind hates more than a lit up human, because you can't control a lit up human. You can't sell a lit up human a bill of goods to convince them that something's wrong and not enough. And so then in you go and it's like flap, 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 hoping, I project, that you'll stay in the story and be prevented from having the direct experience. And don't we all know that place, right? You could have been in that exact same situation, and if none of the attention was there to have the actual experience, you could have walked away suffering because you wouldn't have had the experience. You would have been in the story.
Wow, that's so it, and that's the point that I hadn't seen yet, I think, is the... It's when we're really at the edge of the comfort zone of ego, it really does ramp up because it's getting desperate and because you're nothing, ego hates nothing more than a lit up human because nothing it will do in that moment is believable.
Exactly. It's the Truman Show, right? I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but where, you know, he's waking up to the fact that his entire life is being orchestrated, right? Basically, I mean, we could say by conditioned mind. And as he starts to realize that, the whole thing, you know, I mean, literally, it's funny when you watch it through that lens. Fire, tornado, big, huge storm, anything. Like, no, danger, danger, do not go in that direction. mm-hmm. anything to get you to stop you from going in that direction. Because it's losing you.
Yes, and that ties back to what you said at the beginning of this conversation, which was the staying with it.
Exactly. That's it. Because that's, we're so trained that when it flaps its wings like that, we sit down and shut up. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do anything. I'll do whatever you tell me. It's blackmail. I'll do whatever you tell me.
Right.
Because I project that's what controls us before we've had enough experiences of the minute we walk through that illusory, you know, smoke that it's putting up, it feels scary. Because what is it going to do to me? I don't know. You know, it can't tell mm-hmm. me what it's going to do to me, but it usually doesn't have to. Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, something's going to happen. Okay, I don't want anything to happen. Okay, I'll sit down and be, you know. But once we, you know, with the support of Sangha and our own practice and recording and listening and all of that, we walk through it enough times, we realize nothing's going to happen. In fact, quite the opposite. What's going to happen is I'm going to go from starting my day in a story of, wow, this is way too much, I limit, I'm being completely taken advantage of, which feels awful, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
feel good to be taken advantage of. Yuck. I mean, who wants a job like that, right? Then I get into it. I mean, I need to change. This is terrible. This is no way to live. But I stay with it. I go through that. And what I get to have is, wow, completely inspired. So lucky.
Mm-hmm.
In gratitude.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, and that's the shocking thing is that you can be in utter gratitude. I could be in utter gratitude at the same time that I could also, theoretically, if I'm going to entertain a story, have that be in total dark room. Like it literally could be night and day, depending on where my attention is.
Exactly so. Which, if we can practice with it in a no tolerance for self-hate kind of a way, that can be a huge flag for us. So when I'm feeling like I'm in the dark room, like there's something wrong, there's not enough, I know that on some level, my attention is on a conversation. And the reason I say if we can practice with that without self-hate is that, of course, that in itself is a very powerful awareness that conditioning hates. So what it has most of us trained to do is we don't want to have that awareness because that means there's something wrong with me. Well, see, you're putting your attention on the wrong thing. If you were putting your attention on the right thing, you wouldn't be feeling this way. But again, if we can stay with it and train ourselves to, okay, that's really important to see. I must have my attention on a conditioned conversation. Now, for whatever period of time, that might be as far as it goes. I might have no idea. It doesn't feel like I do. I don't see how that's happening. I don't know how to shift it. I don't, you know, it may even be that we pick up the recorder and, well, it's not working. I don't know. But if we stay with it, 100%, it will happen. That shift will happen. When, how, you know, can I wave my magic wand and make it happen immediately this minute? No. But if we stay with it, presence will happen. It's just the way it works.
That's such a key point, and I think that's going to be a great reminder going forward because that is like one of those hideouts that ego will take when it catches on and it learns a little bit of the language and the lingo. The self-hate just blames. It just shifts to, well, why can't you be present? You know?
And, exactly. Come on.
Well, I appreciate that framing because that certainly helps. That's kind of the key point with going beyond at this edge in particular. If anything, the self-compassion, that has to be everything.
It has to be everything. It has to be everything. Okay, I'm in the dark room. Yep, sure enough, I am. That must not be wrong because there's nothing wrong and there's nothing wrong with me. So, you know, I think I'll pick up the recorder and just, you know, start talking and we'll see what happens. And yeah. Yeah, it's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chris. So helpful to have each person kind of add in where they are, what lens they're looking through, and realize it's truly all part of it.
Yes, and as you said, with the support of Sangha, I mean, hearing that back is so important.
Yes, amen.
All right. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And I heard compassion, no matter what, loud and clear there, Jen, at the end. I'm identified? Great.
Exactly. Okay, good.
Thank goodness that I'm aware of that.
Yes, exactly. Time for compassion. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Fabulous, fabulous conversation. And Jen, we're going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Zen Awareness Coaching supports us to look at the content of our lives through the lens of process. Through the 6 weekly sessions, we use content such as relationships, career, money, health, even spiritual practice itself, and get support for looking at it through the eyes of not what, but how. We use the tools of recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to see how we suffer so we can drop that and support the human to live in unconditional love and acceptance. People say that the structure and one-to-one support that coaching offers makes a huge difference in their lives. If you've ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and would like to work with a Zen Awareness Coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. Let Zen Awareness Coaching provide the support and structure for living in the how of presence.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Jen, we have another caller here.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Fatima, and this is the first time I'm calling to this show. Am I asking Sherry, or who am I asking?
My name is Jen, and I'm one of the monks at the monastery that Sherry founded many, many years ago. Sherry wasn't able to be, she's usually hosts Open Air on Tuesday nights, but she wasn't able to be with us this evening.
Okay, well, pleasure to talk with you, Jen.
And you as well.
So, my question is, I've just only recently started reading Sherry Huber's books, and I've been really struck by them and feeling grateful. And this question arises of, If the voice that allows us to be kind towards ourselves is our true nature, as I understand Sherry writing, this other voice that kind of fuels self-hate, the self-critical voice, where does it come from? I mean,
where does that critical voice come from?
Yeah, like what's the source?
Yeah. That is the $10 million question, Fatima, truly. And it would be fascinating for you to call back on an evening when Sherry is able to be with us. But the things that I've often heard Sherry say is, no one seems to know. And one of the things that for me has really draws me to Buddhist awareness practice in particular is that supposedly the Buddha didn't answer that question. Now, whether he knew the answer, I don't know. But from what I understand, what he would always respond with is, well, the things that I look at and talk about and discuss with people are all of the things that will assist us to end suffering, basically. And we could say in the context of the question you're asking, you know, one of the things I think as people start to do awareness practice, they realize, and I'll bet you're seeing this given that Sherry's books really resonate with you because Sherry is an eloquent writer on this process, that what we realize is suffering comes from that negative conversation in our head. Without that negative conversation, you know, if we were to able to magically remove that negative conversation even for 5 minutes, I think what we would find is an incredibly glorious, rich, beautiful experience of our lives. because it's only in that conversation that the suffering is added in. Well, it's not enough, and I don't think you did that right. And I mean, why are they doing that? And they shouldn't. I mean, we've had some examples of it just tonight on the show. People talking about, you know, how in their lives, what's going on in their lives is perfectly lovely. I mean, that last caller, Chris, was a great example. You know, he has this amazing job that he actually loves, but then there's that conversation that's overlaid all of it, kind of trying to get him to experience it in a way that will create suffering. And so, I mean, it's such an interesting thing. Why would there be a voice in my head that essentially hates me, right? Sherry calls it self-hate. And that, right? I mean, it seems crazy. So I don't know. It's certainly in terms of the answer for me, I truly don't know. And whether anyone else does, I'm not sure. And for me over the years, what I've realized is, well, it does seem to be the case. So maybe we start there and look at, okay, where do we go from here? Does that kind of make sense? Speak to it?
Yeah, and I really appreciate you, your sincerity in that you don't know. It's kind of funny because I witness this voice and this conversation in my head, and I can see how it arises and it like brings up certain emotions and sensations in me that cause me to suffer. And then I'll feel like, you know, that I'm in this stillness where essentially there are no questions. The questions kind of disappear. Yes. And then the chattering voice comes back and it kind of starts like, that's the same voice that's kind of asking me, what is this self-hate voice? And then I start to kind of have a conversation about that, like, where is it coming from? Why is it coming? And I can't really distinguish whether that is a contemplative voice or whether that is self-hate perpetuating me in a direction where I'm not able to be in the presence, because I guess like the paradox that I kind of am dealing with is if this true nature exists, this like all-loving, compassionate nature, like why would we ever separate from it?
Truly.
Even though I think you understood my question, and
Oh yes, and you, what you're articulating, Fatima, is a very deep level of looking that you're doing, because those are very, very subtle things that you're seeing. Because if I'm tracking what you're saying, the experience you're having is that for some period of time, whether it's a split second, a moment or two, you are in that place where the voices have fallen away. And that what you're experiencing in that, I would project, is just presence. And in that presence, there's a sense of well-being. There's a sense the questions fall away. It's okay. Mm-hmm. There's a quietness. There's a silence there. And then what you've realized is what gets introduced into that is, gosh, well, I wonder why would there be a self-hating? And why would we turn our attention? And simply to notice, which is what you're doing, you notice, oh, that's interesting. That took me away from the silence. And maybe that's the only thing we need to see. You know, it's the difference between, Sherry will often talk to people about, and someone mentioned on the show today, noodling, right? Like, am I thinking about this too much? Am I trying to figure this out? Which is going to be another conversation in conditioned mind. Whereas what we're actually doing in awareness practice is exactly what you're describing that you're doing, which is you're simply noticing. And what you've noticed is when I'm not in that conversation in the head, I'm in presence. And there's well-being, and there's quiet, and there's silence. And one of the ways that silence gets interrupted is a conversation being reintroduced. And it's funny, because if we start to catch on to it, it has to talk to us about more subtle things, like, well, I wonder why there would be a conversation in my head. Why would there be? I mean, what's the purpose of that? And then to realize, oh, wait, that's another conversation in my head. That's fine. Yep. I realize that. I can let it go and just come back to that quiet.
Interesting. I guess I'm kind of starting to explore Buddhism and Zen Buddhism, and so far I haven't come across any theory of creation or, you know, I grew up in a Muslim household, and there they would refer to the stillness as God and to this voice as like the devil or something like that, is, you know, it just kind of, it just gives you this explanation, but I haven't been able to find that in the Buddhist teachings. I find it difficult to surrender into.
You find it difficult to surrender. Sorry, I cut you off on that.
No, just like not being given an explanation as to why things are the way they are. Yeah.
Yes. It is. I'm with you. It's uncomfortable. I mean, it certainly was for me for a long time. I didn't grow up in a Buddhist tradition either. But there's something that always drew me to it, and I think you've put your finger on it, which is, first of all, I think it's fascinating that every every spiritual and religious tradition has seen that there is something that, as you say, some traditions call it the devil, that just is bringing us, you know, doesn't have our best interest at heart, right? It's there, it's creating suffering, it's creating misery, it's creating, you know, all those things. And that one of the things I think that drew me to Zen in particular was how it was offering me an experience and having a direct experience for myself. And that's been just an absolutely lovely practice, because in truth, what you're doing is that's what Zen is. It's just bringing the attention back to the present moment, just being here, just here, this here now. And then noticing what pulls me off. And if I choose to, just bringing the attention back to the present moment. And there's no should in it, right? There's no, as far as I know, the Buddha didn't teach that you should do it or that right people do it and wrong people don't do it, but just that it's possible to do it, that it's possible to live life in that present moment if we choose to train to do that.
Wow. Thank you so much. That was really insightful. I've had this conversation. I've had this conversation a couple of times, and I feel like I've just gotten more and more, more noodling, as Sherry would say. I appreciate what you said.
Well, thank you for calling. It's so lovely when folks, you know, have the willingness, and I project courage. I don't know if it took courage for you. It did for me when I was first participating to call in and share your practice. And yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely.
Yeah, I was nervous.
I don't know if you know, I guess if you've found the radio show, then you've probably found the website. But the website certainly has all kinds of interesting things and ways to participate and, you know, retreats and workshops and all that. So if any of those call to you, it'd be lovely for you to look into those.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Fatima. Take very good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Fatima. And Jen, I love exploring those fundamental questions. It's just fascinating.
Me too. Me too, especially, you know, Zen is so big on beginner's mind, right?
Yes.
But that, just that place of just a freshness of just being willing to look. And we all see essentially the same thing when we look. Not the same thing in terms of like same old, but the same jewel that's there. Everyone will see it when they look. Everyone will see it. And it doesn't matter if you've been practicing 100 years or one day. If you're really looking, you'll see it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. And Jen, we have time for one more caller.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Jessica from Oregon.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Hi. I have wanted to call in for a while, and I haven't, but I did today.
Yay.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say real quick that I the thing I love about being like the last caller or close to the end sometimes is that it seems like everything kind of speaks to what, you know, what I was calling in about. And it's just, it's so cool how that happens.
It is.
I love it. I love it.
Me too. Yeah. My favorite thing. Yeah.
So I appreciated the reminder earlier in the call too about it being okay to talk about content, because I think I get into that place too where it's like, no, it's all about process. So thank you for that.
Yeah, right. And then we kind of get twisted up, right? Well, there's this thing that kind of that happened, but anyway, and then.
yeah. I'm trying to talk. Yeah, not being clear, and so.
Yeah, we start to sound crazy. And, yeah.
Yeah. That being said, so I've been looking at this process for a while, and it just came up right before I got on the call today. I've been noticing, I've been through a lot of changes recently, a lot of content changes in life, and I've been noticing sort of this this process around identity, and I've been practicing so hard recently just because of all these big changes. And as I'm doing that, I'm becoming less identified with self-hate, with ego.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yes, very grateful for that. But I guess I'm noticing in that how much time and energy and how much of the identity has been around dealing with me, quote, as like a suffering person, yep. If that makes sense.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
And as that is starting to sort of fade, and I'm gaining the ability to direct my awareness, or that gaining that skill, increasing that skill and increasing my skill and being present. And my life circumstances are kind of shifting in positive ways too. I'm finding it difficult. I'm just noticing how there's a conversation about, well, what do I, like, I don't know how to be a person who's not suffering, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, absolutely. And the attention keeps wanting to, and it's like, whoa, there's all this time and there's all this energy and things feel more open. And on a content level, like, I have a career opportunity right now, the opportunity to open a business, which is what I've wanted to do. But then it's like, the conversation is that it's so unfamiliar. I'm hearing a conversation about how unfamiliar it is, and it almost feels hard to step into that fully.
Yeah. So if I'm tracking, so you've been doing awareness practice, you know, a while now, and so you've got quite a lot of practice under your belt and a lot of practice with how to practice when I'm suffering. And seeing a lot, you know, having seen through a lot of identities and, you know, really good sense of how Jessica is caused to suffer and, you know, this is karmic for me and this is karmic for me and I see that and, okay, yeah, that's up. Yeah, I know that one. And then, you know, what's going on right now is you're starting to realize that there's more distance from the self-hate, right? It's less believable, all of those things that have dogged you for so long. And, you know, who knows, coincidence or not, some of the content is, there's some pretty neat content things happening as well, right? So you've got a job opportunity, you've got an opportunity to start a business, always wanted to do that. And so you're in unfamiliar territory, and it sounds like a piece of what you're looking at is, without realizing it, and again, nothing wrong, but just noticing it, oh, there have been also some patterns to how I practice. And that even those patterns of how I practice are starting to shift.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Can you say just a little bit more about that?
So in other words, it sounds like what I'm used to practicing in order to alleviate suffering, in order to address the suffering that comes up. So how do I practice when there isn't a lot of suffering coming up, when actually things are going, quote, well? What does practice look like then?
Is it that sort of a thing? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I don't think I was framing it that way, but that is kind of what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So this is new. This is new.
It's new.
Like, how do I practice with this?
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. So that kind of, that's a direction to look at.
And so give me an example of how, I can't remember how you said it exactly, but you said you're used to practicing when they're suffering and that kind of thing, and this feels unfamiliar. What would be an example of unfamiliar?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think of it's hard to put into words. It's almost like I'm unfamiliar with feeling this way. And it's like, I keep wanting to go back. It's like, I almost want to keep creating or allow ego to create suffering because I know what to do with that. But I don't, I don't know what this openness of my chest is. And I don't know what this I noticed wanting to go back, like, to the familiar, like I'm wanting, like, letting ego create suffering because at least I know what that is.
Yeah. It's a little bit, I don't know if you were on the call for the conversation with Chris, but it's kind of a version of that. Like, you're getting past what's quote comfortable, even though ironically what you're moving into is what's actually comfortable, right?
Yes.
Comfortable in the sense of free and open and here and present and, you know, alive and enthusiastic and, you know, whatever words you put in there. But because it's unfamiliar, it gets labeled uncomfortable. So, I better go create something that I know how to work with.
Yeah. And just as you said that too, I was noticing in that, you know, with the old suffering and the old way of being, it was like, I knew there was patterns, like I knew what to do and I knew how things were going to go.
Yeah.
And that's not how it is now.
Yep. Are you finding recording helpful at all as you navigate this?
Yeah, I've been practicing with it. The struggle is showing up in the recording too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing.
I bet.
So it's been a little challenging. I'm trying to stick with it, obviously. But
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And I'm guessing you've done this, but just in case, because sometimes I know for me the obvious doesn't occur to me. But you know, maybe like a two-handed recording where the person in the right hand is the person who's saying, wow, this is unfamiliar. I'm not really sure how to practice with all this. I'm clear that I da-da-da, but I don't know. These are new sensations in my chest. I'm not really sure what to do with it. And I notice that there's an impetus to go create something that I do know how to practice with, you know, letting that be the right hand person.
No, I haven't done that yet. So that's okay. Yeah, letting that person like fully share that experience and speak.
Exactly, because I project I don't want to give it away. So I don't, because I mean, basically I just project that life is going to hear that and just be completely excited for you and just know that even though it's so funny, there really aren't words, you're right, Jessica. It'll be exciting for you to find them when you're doing the recording. But that place where it in one sense, it feels so different. And yet, mm-hmm. the metta process, which is one of meeting everything with nothing wrong, curiosity, mm-hmm. compassion, openness, let's do this together, that process mm-hmm. will remain the same, which is the process I project mm-hmm. that served you so well in bringing you to where you are right now. It's just that instead right. of embracing, well, it was so much, it's so much more concrete to embrace the suffering and the hard and the and it feels right. more unfamiliar to embrace the openness, the freedom, but it's going to be the same process, the same metta process.
Right. Oh, man, that really hits. Yeah, that really resonates. And I think part of a weird part of the unfamiliarity is like that, yeah, you're so right, that practicing the compassion and the acceptance and that there is nothing wrong, when I'm kind of identified too with a part that's not feeling that as a reality, but I'm practicing it, is different than like now I'm starting to experience that
yes.
more as my reality, but then to still practice with it, like, yes. oh, I don't know. Sorry,
yeah.
I just,
oh,
it's hard.
So
I don't have the words, but yeah.
I know, it's new. And you know what I think is fun is I'm hearing more and more people in Sangha talk about this, and I have a feeling it's going to be a big theme in the year-long retreat this year. I really do.
That's so
I think
exciting.
This movement, it's just one of those movements, I think, that's just happening in the way that these
mm-hmm.
things happen, you know, kind of in whole mind
mm-hmm.
or however that goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be really
yeah.
fun.
Oh, we're all moving that direction together.
Yeah, and finding the words. Like, as you say, there kind of aren't the words. And how do we talk about it? And, you know, and then Ashwini mm-hmm. will start writing musings articles about it, and it will show up in email class responses. And, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
so fun. We're all exploring it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so nice. That's so so exciting and so lovely.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much.
That's really helpful. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
Jessica.
Thanks for being there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for calling in. Take good care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You too.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. And Jen, I don't have the words either, but what I will say is that it felt to me like each conversation tonight was just fresh and took me in a unique, open direction, and they're all unique, and yet they're all practice.
Yeah, exactly. That's well put, Michael. Each one is, it's just like us, right? Each one
yes.
is its own shining jewel, and it's all the same suchness.
Yes, yes. And so I'm grateful for all of those conversations and for our listeners and for you being here tonight. And another blessing has been bestowed upon us. So I'm grateful.
Absolutely. Even with the technology. Wow.
Yes. What a blessing.
All right, Michael. Thanks for being there.
Thank you, Jen. Good night and go happy.
Okay. Good night. Thanks. You too.